views from a superior point of view.
This administration here and now declares unconditional war on poverty in America.
The Twin Ports' largest anti-poverty agency gets a new leader.
We do some programming that works with crisis, but a majority is trying to eliminate poverty in our communities.
Who's also leading the local fight for racial justice. We'll catch up with Classy Dudley. Plus, her music has been described as melodic but buscular, and has won her the opportunity to open for Trampled by Turtles. Meet indie rocker Emma Jean.
I know 7 years from now my skin won't be my own. Once again I'll be outgrown.
Welcome to Simply Superior, and welcome back to our regular listeners after our break for the month of June. I'm Robin Washington. Classy Dudley has been president of the Duluth Branch NAACP, which also covers Superior, since the beginning of 2021. Taking on the duties while barely out of her 20s, it's safe to say she's reinvigorated the chapter, particularly growing the participation of younger people. Now, she has a new responsibility, which she's taking on without abandoning her social justice activities heading the local NAACP. Classy was recently named Executive Director of Community Action Duluth, and she's not only the youngest person to serve in that capacity, but the first person of color and woman of color. The anti-poverty agency offers scores of services to low-income people of all colors throughout the Twin Ports, from assistance in getting income tax refunds to buying a cheap but reliable car and other services. And she joins me now. Welcome to Simply Superior, Classy Dudley.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So you didn't have enough to do running the NAACP branch, right? And that's volunteer. But you also had a job with your own business as well.
Yeah, I was running a homeless shelter here in our area. And while the NAACP definitely worked more upstream on upstream initiatives to fight root cause analysis to, you know, systemic racism and poverty that we see in our community, my shelter was really working with triaging folks. So it was a lot of emergency crisis that I was working with constantly. And so, you know, this new role at CAD, it was really exciting because it was right up my alley, and it was pushing more upstream initiatives to stop people from being homeless.
Mm-hmm. And the homeless shelter is an independent facility, not part of an agency, right? And something of a family business?
It is a family business. It's done through contracting with St. Louis County. So we contract with them for some beds, and then we also provide either grants or, you know, fundraising to do more social services for our residents there. So helping them get jobs, giving them rides to doctor's appointments, from attending doctor's appointments with people, just really trying to elevate each individual in their own way that's meaningful to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see that would segue into Community Action Duluth, but before we do that, let's take it chronologically and tell me about the NAACP first. What inspired you to take a leadership role? And I should back up to say that the organization celebrated its 100th anniversary a few years ago. And though racial problems have by no means ended in the country since then, it's fair to say that many people think of it historically rather than the present, particularly in terms of the involvement of young people. So what got you involved as a young person, particularly wanting to lead it?
Yeah, well, you know, I was kind of thrusted into it for sure. I originally just wanted to work on elevating people of color's lives in the Twin Ports area. You know, we often talk about how great the Twin Ports is, how beautiful it is, how, you know, if friendly it is to its people. But when we really start peeling back the layers, we're seeing that there's a lot of trauma that's been done to the Black and Brown community. And I believe I was just one of the people who was very vocal about it, and also made myself not just talk the talk, but I walked the walk, right? Like, I was showing up in places that were important for our people to be at, and giving that representation and the perspective and really pushing for equity initiatives. My community just really supported me and pushed me into this role of the NAACP president. And I have done things with the NAACP in the past, so it was kind of just a natural transition. And like I said, it was working more on upstream initiatives to fighting inequities and systemic racism, which was so invigorating because I've just been working triaging constantly. And at some point, we just got to work upstream on the initiatives on changing this policy. So instead of helping people at the worst time of their life, eliminating that from even happening to start with.
Mm-hmm. And I should accentuate, as you just pointed out, the Duluth branch NAACP really does serve the Twin Ports, right? Because there isn't a Superior branch?
Absolutely. We serve the largest region in the state of Minnesota. We basically are like Duluth and all up and the surrounding areas to the left of us and to the right, because we are the most northern branch. So we hit the largest geographical region and we have the most members out of any other branches within the state of Minnesota.
Including the Twin Cities?
Yes, including the Twin Cities.
Wow, yeah. Okay. And it's got to be unique too that it does spread over two states because, again, of our geography.
Yes.
Or maybe three states? I don't know. Canada? Do you go that far?
We don't go into Canada. But we do go into the Dakotas. So we have been working on like rapid response calls within Fargo and, you know, our neighbors on that side. So,
And these are areas that don't have a lot of particularly Black people, but as you say, Black and brown people or people of color in general, right? So their needs, is no great exaggeration to say this, are different than, you know, Chicago, Detroit, Birmingham, Alabama.
Absolutely. And when we focus on, you know, changing policies, it really helps spread awareness, because I get that question a lot. Well, you know, Black people are suffering, but what about Natives? Or Black people are suffering, but what about Latinx people? Or what about, you know, the LGBTQ community? And so when we say we're focusing on policy, that policy lifts up everybody. We're just finding that when we work at the policy that affects the people who are at the bottom of the bottom, it uplifts everybody. So eliminating student debt and student loans, that's helping everybody. Our community crisis response, they don't just help people of color, they're helping anybody who has a crisis in our community. So having policies that hit for specifically, we're targeting the worst population that's being disfranchised, but it's really serving everybody and uplifting everybody. And that's what helps us have that wider spread, too, across many different counties, cities, and states.
Right, and maybe countries. So we're speaking with Classy Dudley. She's the president of the Duluth branch NAACP and also recently announced as the executive director of Community Action Duluth. So we will segue to Community Action Duluth. What attracted you to that job?
Well, you know, it's funny, speaking back to like my shelter, I haven't applied for a new job in over 8+ years. And it just was by chance that I saw this opening. And I really appreciated Community Action's mission. I have been a part of Community Action in the past. I had done programming here before. So it was just a natural, like the next stride. Like there was no breaks. There was no switchover. It just, the mission of CAD fit exactly with my morals, my ethics, and what I want to be doing for our community. So it was really exciting when we had this position. And I thought I would throw my hat in there to see if this was going to be a right fit for them too. And it worked out. So I'm super excited.
Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit larger than running a homeless shelter under contract, yes?
Absolutely. I have a way larger staff, a lot more programming, and that gives us an opportunity to do a way bigger impact, which is really exciting. And again, stopping triage instead of hitting people when they're at their worst time of their life. We do some programming that works with crisis and works with, you know, communities that are under crisis, but a majority is trying to stop poverty and eliminate poverty in our communities. And also with that, Community Action is a part of the community action agencies across the country. So not only am I leading this organization, but that makes me on the board of a lot of the other community action agencies across the country, state or region. And it's it's huge. The organization is huge in itself.
Right, right. And it dates back, we're talking about history, to President Johnson era, War on Poverty, right? So let's get into some of the specifics of what it does do. I know it has a tax site that helps people get their income tax refunds, low-income people. Mm-hmm. A car buying program, the idea to get you a low-cost car that works, which could help get you to a job. You have StreamCorps, which I believe is people cleaning up our urban streams and planting appropriate foliage, and entrepreneurial existence and advice in terms of people wanting to start businesses. Am I getting these right? And if I'm not, correct me and give me the others.
We also have educational programming. So people who want to get their CNA, people who are trying to get their any certificates within the construction realm as well. And it's also hands-on. So we're rehabbing houses in our community that have been abandoned or in low-income communities and rehabbing those houses and selling it back to the community or giving it back to the community, depending on which program we're running. And that goes hand-in-hand with our GED classes. We also, like you said, we have different types of financial coaching from MNFIB to financial housing opportunity coaching and our Seeds of Success, which is a mobile market. We know that this area that we're in, Lincoln Park, is a food desert. So we have a mobile market that drives groceries to our neighborhood. And we also do a farmer's market as well, where we collaborate with a lot of community programs. You mentioned our StreamCorps, which takes Vista volunteers and other community members, and of course our staff that goes and tackles our neighborhood, you know, the way it looks, and we're uplifting and revitalizing these communities and giving back to our community, also tackling environmental issues such as invasive species and working on things towards global warming. You did hit on our tax site. That's one of our larger programs too. We have Love Your Block, which is partnership with the city, which is also revitalizing and creating better relationships with our city officials and our city administration with our communities that have been most harmed. We also do insurance, helping people sign up for SNAP benefits, insurance, and other benefits through the county and state and agencies. We also have child care. We're doing a lot. My favorite thing about community action is that we're constantly engaging in the community to see what the needs are. We have a community needs assessment that we do, and we're coming up on a new one to see what are the issues within our community? Is it housing? Is it transportation? Is it access to affordable food or affordable healthcare? And we get that back from the community, and then we shape our programming to fit the needs of what people are telling us to do.
We could probably do our whole program here just listing the things you just said. So we are speaking to Classy Dudley. She is the president of the Duluth Branch NAACP and the newly announced executive director of Community Action Duluth. We just said the NAACP serves the Duluth Branch, a very large geographic area. What about Community Action Duluth? It's got Duluth in there. Does it stop at the bay and a river, or do you serve Wisconsin clients too? And before you answer that, how can you actually tell, right? I mean, obviously you can have somebody's address, but so much of, our issues overlap.
Exactly. And because we're so close, you know, right across the bridge, we do a lot of collaboration with communities over on the other side of the bridge, right? Like our seeds, our farmers market, we have different vendors coming from across the bridge, and we support them, and we support our people from across the bridge. There's some programs that we're not able to transfer over, like our SNAP benefits and our MNSURE programs, because that's specifically towards Minnesota. But besides that, we try to engage within our Wisconsin community, and I definitely want to make sure we're having an impact over there for our people, because the goal is to eliminate poverty, and wherever that poverty is, we need to be attacking it.
Mm-hmm. And there are some services in Northwest Wisconsin, but not as large, right, as Community Action Duluth, so not a lot of places that people can go.
Yeah, I believe in Wisconsin, there's about 4 agencies through the state. I could be wrong, but I believe that's the last number that I was given for community agency programs.
Where can we find out more about, again, one at a time, Community Action Duluth?
Yeah. So the website is communityactionduluth.org. We have office hours from 8 to 4:30 p.m. They can always email info@communityactionduluth.org. Our phone number is 218-726-1665. And we're located in the old Lincoln Park School building, which is 2424 West 5th Avenue, Suite 102. And we always welcome anybody and we serve all. So please stop by.
All right. I'm going to ask you to repeat all that. The website, the email address, and the phone and address.
Yeah. So the website is communityactionduluth.org. Our address is 2424 West 5th Street, Suite 102, Duluth, Minnesota. And our phone number is 218-726-1665. And they can email info@communityactionduluth.org.
Great. Now I'm going to ask you to say all that again. This time I'm asking about the NAACP. What are the contact numbers for that?
Yeah, absolutely. We are not always on site as we are all volunteers. So the best way to contact the NAACP is going to be at branch@duluthnaacp.org.
And is there a phone number? Or?
Yeah, they can contact the phone number at 218-302-1865. And if they're looking for immediate assistance with a rapid response concern or complaint, they can email rapidresponse@duluthnaacp.org.
And that phone number again?
Yes, 218-302-1865.
Great. And lastly, when that phone rings or the other one, how do you know they're calling Classy Dudley from the NAACP or Community Action Duluth? Because I'm going to suggest some of the people calling, you know, might have needs that overlap. So, you know, how do you know which hat you're going to wear?
Yeah, it all depends what services are needed and who can provide them. So Community Action Duluth, we have specific programming and volunteers and staff to work on specific issues revolving our program. Whereas the NAACP, we do rapid response calls and policy work. So most of the people who contact NAACP are either going to volunteer for us to work on policy change, or they need a rapid response call in terms of they've been discriminated against because of the color of their skin. So it definitely, the people that we serve, they intertwine between the two organizations, which just make our organization stronger, and we can serve them in both realms, which is really exciting.
All right. We've been speaking with Classy Dudley. She's the president of the Duluth branch NAACP and also executive director of Community Action Duluth. Thank you for joining us, Classy.
Thank you for having me, Robin.
Coming up, a contest winner gets to open for Trampled by Turtles. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Have you ever wondered how the headliners at a concert decide who gets to open for them? Well, an in with their manager or a band member might work, but for Trampled by Turtles concert at Bayfront Festival Park in Duluth tomorrow, it was all about merit. And that was determined by the Palomino Grant, a competition that carries with it a $5,000 award, presented by Trampled by Turtles in association with the Duluth Homegrown Music Festival. That winner and tomorrow's opener is Imogene Rothwell, or simply Imogene. The Duluth News Tribune describes her music as melodic but muscular, which means you probably should be ready to rock. And she joins me now. Welcome to Simply Superior, Imogene.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So you're originally from the Twin Cities, and you came up to Duluth to attend UMD, the University of Minnesota Duluth. What was your major, and what was your grade point average?
I can't answer the second question, but I was an art major, so those go hand in hand. No, I studied graphic design and art history at UMD, and you know, I passed, so that's what counts.
Well, pass-fail works,
you know,
and art is in the eye of the beholder, right? Or whatever you can convince your instructor is art.
Exactly. And you know what? It was for 3 of my semesters, all completely online, so I did do some pass-fail, and it was really nice to not have to worry about it, just to work on the work, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm actually going to be serious about this for a moment. My mother was an artist and art teacher, and she had a way of grading that took into consideration that not everyone had the skills to draw. She pointed out that Cézanne was hardly the greatest draftsman in the world. So instead of grading just on technical skills, she did so on the totality of the work, asking, what is this student trying to say and how well did they say it? I've actually used that as a guide in writing and editing music reviews or other art criticism. Do you think that's a fair way of assessing a work?
I really agree with that. And I'm also kind of in this moment where, you know, I had kind of turned away from doing music when I went to college because I kind of was, you know, afraid of the journey upward that it took. But then having gone to art school, I kind of feel like I learned a lot of skills that are pretty interdisciplinary to, you know, doing well with music, which was something that was kind of unintentionally discovered. It's, everything's kind of interconnected, and like your ability to portray something or communicate an idea mm-hmm. is kind of like universal in a lot of senses between visual art and music.
Plus in music, you don't have to be able to draw, right?
Exactly. But, you know, it helps, you know, being a graphic designer, something that's really helped me is I make all my own promotional posters and I make all of my album covers and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I guess in my case, I kind of do have to draw, but I'm not getting graded on my own work, which is nice.
And we're pass fail, remember? And of course you can draw. We are speaking with the multi-talented Imogene. She will be the opening act to the Trample by Turtles concert tomorrow at Duluth Bayfront Festival Park. She got the nod after winning the Palomino contest, which also carries with it a $5,000 prize. So let's hear some of your music. What would you suggest?
I would suggest one of the first songs that I finished up last year and we recorded, which is Turbulence, which is a single that I have out on Spotify.
All right. Here is Turbulence by Imogene.
January 1st, we go out to Paris. We drink red wine on the flight. Don't even look.
And that was Turbulence by our guest Imogene. She'll be opening for Trampled by Turtles at Duluth Bayfront Festival Park tomorrow. So we covered art. How about your music? Which came first, chicken or egg?
Both simultaneously, you know, which is so scary for my family, I'm sure. originally, I, in high school, had a band called The Cladogram, and I'm actually still together with at least the bassist of that band. He's playing in the band with me on July 9th, which is super exciting. But we had this band, and it was a lot more of like a cover band than it was like us writing original music together. But nevertheless, it was like good experience getting more comfortable on stage. And then I kind of took a break from music for a long time when I was in university, just because studio art was a very intensive, because it was kind of hard to meet people too during the pandemic to jam with. And then during the pandemic, 2020, I was doing online school at home, had a lot more time to be working on other projects, and began kind of writing songs that eventually turned into the four songs that I recorded last spring and then released this past year.
All right. Well, let's hear another one of those. What do you got next?
This one is called Message Received. This song, it was kind of about trying to reconnect with a friend that I had kind of become distant from for various reasons, but also this experience that I had last spring of stargazing at this bonfire and actually seeing Elon Musk's Starlink launch that night, which was like a gigantic string of satellites. You could see them orbiting around all of like the Duluth area for like 20 minutes, like consistently.
Got it. And here's Message Received by Imogene. And that was Message Received by our guest, Imogene. She'll be the opener for the Trampled by Turtles concert tomorrow at Bayfront Festival Park in Duluth. You know, you and I actually have met before. You were one of the performers at the Benefit for Ukraine at Earthrider Brewery earlier this year. And you said then you were testing the waters of performing live. But I think I also understand now that you were emerging like the rest of us from the pandemic.
Yeah, I actually, this past year, I had played quite frequently at Blush, which unfortunately is my favorite music venue that just closed down due to some leasing issues. However, that was my first time playing at the Cedar Lounge, which is kind of a big buildup because I, to kind of get my foot in that door, I kind of volunteered myself to host trivia every Monday night there. So I started out hosting trivia throughout the winter and then writing the trivia. And then, you know, once they have your email, it's a lot easier for them to be like, hey, do you want to play a show? And so that was a great kind of door opening there. So the Ukraine Benefit Concert was my first time playing on the Cedar Lounge stage. But since then, this whole past month of June, I've been doing weekly residencies at the Cedar Lounge as well. And we'll be playing at Earthrider Fest on, I think, September 10th. So keep your eyes out for that lineup because it's going to be really great.
Okay, so share some trivia. Or how does it work? People, you throw something out and people give you an answer and you give them $5,000, right?
Yeah, kind of like a grant, you know.
Well, you're supposed to say no, that does not happen. Listeners, she meant no.
Well, you know, we used to do a lot of different types of categories. So we'd have to write 6 categories a week. Some of my favorite trivia, I'm trying to think. I did a board game trivia. One of them was like talking about like how the Parker Brothers released this parlor game, the Ouija board, and what is that, you know, glass magnifier that you move around the board called. And you know what, actually, come to think of it, not looking at the questions, I don't know the answer, but...
Well, I don't either. So, listeners, you heard that. You got your chance. $5,000 for... No. Forget what I'm saying here. Anything on the Twin Ports trivia of Duluth Superior?
I don't have anything off the top of my mind. I probably should because I worked at the Glenteen for a long time. I'm trying to think if there's anything. I would hate to be historically inaccurate, though.
Well, just saying the Glenteen, there's a lot of trivia around that, mostly concerning who did it.
Who did it? You know what? We're actually not supposed to talk about that.
All right, I'll stop talking about it. We are talking to Imogene. She'll be the opener for Trampled by Turtles tomorrow at Bayfront Festival Park in Duluth after winning the Palomino contest, for which the prize also was $5,000. So what are you going to do with that money?
I'm like, I've already spent that money. No. So a huge benefit of that money is I recorded an album, which is getting mixed and mastered. And the final song I'll share with you is a raw recording from that session. But I paid for my cost of recording. So I recorded for a day and a half in an actual studio in Northeast Minneapolis. And that was like quite a bit of money. And then on top of that, all of the mixing and mastering for each song is like $150. So 5 songs, that adds up with the recording costs. And so I got the opportunity to kind of recoup some of the investment I put into my music initially, and then to also give my bandmates some money for their time because, you know, they're lovely and they just wanted to help me out with the project. But I'm like, no, like, you guys are professional musicians, so we should all get paid.
And that's very thoughtful of you and very wisely spent. Where can we hear some of your music now that you've professionally produced it?
I'm mostly on Spotify, so at Imogene on Spotify, you can find the 4 singles, but my new album is going to probably be set to release in October, so, you know, catch me on a show before if you want to hear all of the new music, but I'm kind of sitting on some big projects and a single with a music video that I'm also putting together with some of that money, too, so.
Great, and one of those recordings to take us out?
Yeah, absolutely. The last recording you'll hear is Hindsight.
All right, here's Hindsight by Imogene, a.k.a. Imogene Rothwell. She'll be playing as the opening for Trampled by Turtles tomorrow at Bayfront Festival Park in Duluth. Thank you for joining us.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Welcome back, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
And Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Rick, the country just experienced another tragic shooting event in the Chicago suburb of Highland Park on July 4th. I actually went down there immediately afterwards, but before I give an update, the fireworks in Duluth were postponed, but it wasn't in fear of other attacks, although that did happen elsewhere in the country. What's the story locally?
It was not a tragic reason for the postponement. It was simply Mother Nature. It delivered a rainy, foggy, and cold day to the Northland Monday. And so the Twin Ports organizers postponed the bulk of the 4th of July festivities to today, July 8th. So folks will still be able to check fireworks out in Duluth and hang out at the park there. Festivities begin with music at 5 o'clock, and then the fireworks are on tap for 10 p.m. Food, drink, and craft vendors will also be on hand. What was the mood like in Highland Park, Robin?
Well, people told me it was really soul-crushing to, of course, ever happen, but especially on July 4th. It happened at their annual town parade, and this was the first one they'd had in 2 years because of the pandemic. A 21-year-old man who's a resident of the town got on a roof and shot into the parade, killing seven and injuring dozens. You know, Highland Park is a fairly upscale community, and almost half the population is Jewish, as were, it's not completely confirmed, but it seems a majority of the seven victims. I spoke with a member of that community, psychiatrist Mark Slutsky, for the Jewish Forward. Here's what he had to say.
I think the Highland Park Jewish community is looking at this as the most personal, intense version of what's going on in the country, and we thought that somehow we had gotten past all of our history. That somehow we had arrived at a place where we were safe. All of a sudden, we say that this isn't the way we thought things were going.
So, Rick, the Highland Park police are being praised for quickly apprehending the suspect. He had put on women's clothing to make his escape and was at large for about 4 hours and then caught. Back in Duluth, there's a search for a new police chief here.
Yes, that job has now been officially posted. Last week, the city of Duluth started accepting applications for its soon-to-be-open police chief job, and an appointment is likely to be made in September. Applications will be accepted through July 31. Mike Tuscan will retire as the head of the Duluth Police Department on August 1st, and he's going to be taking on a new role as law enforcement program coordinator at Fond du Lac Tribal and Community College. He announced this recently. Tuscan has led the agency since early 2016. City officials said they will hold several public meetings to receive feedback and answer questions from community members. Initial meetings will be held in eastern and central locations in July, followed by candidate review and interviews in August. Finalists will then appear at another public session in the western part of Duluth in early September. Exact dates and locations will be released at a later time. The city has said, and the entire timeline is subject to change as the search progresses. Duluth Mayor Emily Larson has exclusive authority to appoint the chief, though it is subject to city council confirmation. Because the process will extend past Tuscan's retirement date, an interim chief is expected to be announced in the coming weeks. With a 2022 budget of $26.2 million, the Duluth Police Department includes approximately 158 sworn officers and 40 support staff across patrol, investigation, and administrative divisions.
Okay. Well, Danny, big news in the world since we last spoke include the Supreme Court's ruling overturning Roe v. Wade. What's that mean for Wisconsin and Minnesota, especially in our border area?
Yeah, well, for Wisconsin, it means that a more than 170-year-old abortion ban goes back into effect. Since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. And that's sending a lot of patients here in Wisconsin over the border in Minnesota and Illinois to seek care or abortion procedures. And that includes the We Health Clinic in Duluth, where Executive Director Lori Casey has said that they've started to see an increasing amount of people from out of state come to their clinic, which only provides procedures once a week right now, but they're looking at adding capacity, adding physicians and staff to accommodate any influx in out-of-state patients. And part of the reason for that is they're seeing out-of-state patients from Texas and surrounding states heading to the Twin Cities clinic that provides abortion procedures. And so that's sending a lot of people who live in the Minneapolis area up here as they're starting to see more demand down there. And also, Casey said that they are beginning to see more people from mid-southern Wisconsin in Duluth. And last year, they had around 90 patients from Wisconsin throughout the year, and that's about 20% of the number of procedures that they had offered throughout the entire year. And she expects that that will continue to grow now that Wisconsin severely restricts or basically is outright illegal for people to seek procedure currently in the state. Although Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is challenging that more than 170-year-old abortion ban and the legality of it. So it remains to be seen how that will play out.
Well, a little more local to Superior, although it does have some environmental ramifications to Minnesota, I suppose. You've got an update on the proposed gas plant?
Yes. So the $700 million proposed gas plant in Superior has seen another environmental assessment come out. There was a supplemental environmental assessment released last month regarding the project, and that came as a result of environmental groups, including Clean Wisconsin and the Sierra Club, asking for the Rural Utility Service within the U.S. Department of Agriculture to take another look at the climate impacts of that project as part of financing that Dairyland Power Cooperative is seeking to support the project. Dairyland Power is one of three utilities that are seeking to build this plant in Superior, along with a subsidiary of Minnesota Power. Essentially, this supplemental environmental assessment took a look at the carbon emissions that would be produced from this plant if built. And it's around 2.7 million tons of carbon that would be released into the atmosphere each year, which regulators say is about 1 million tons fewer than is currently being released by other coal-fired assets in Minnesota or surrounding states. And so they argue that this project would not have a significant impact on greenhouse gas emissions, since it would essentially reduce the amount of carbon that's being released into the atmosphere. And so environmental groups are continuing to challenge this project. And most recently, environmental groups in Wisconsin are appealing a ruling from a Dane County judge back in May that basically upheld the Public Service Commission's approval of the project in Wisconsin. So the plant is still facing legal challenges, but utilities say that they're committed to building it and that these ongoing challenges only delay the transition to cleaner energy sources and ultimately would increase costs for the project, which would be passed on to consumers.
Well, something else that affects us on both sides of the bay and the entire Great Lakes are fish advisories telling you what's safe to eat from what you pull out of the water.
That's right. You know, fish is a very popular food in Wisconsin. Friday night fish fries are pretty popular, and it's also a staple for Wisconsin tribes. But this new study finds that only about half of Great Lakes residents are aware of fish advisories that set safe limits for eating fish. And this study was published last month, and researchers from the University of Wisconsin in Madison and also the Wisconsin Department of Health Services have said that they found in this survey that about 5 million people were eating more than what the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency recommended. And that basically is no more than 2 meals a week or 12 ounces of fish. And they found that women and people of color and younger residents were less likely to be aware of these advisories and the risks of eating fish that may be contaminated with mercury or
PCBs or so-called forever chemicals known as PFAS. And so this is something that they want to be working on so that they can get more information out there in a way that's readily and easily accessible to all sorts of populations. They don't want people to stop eating fish altogether. You know, they highlight that fish has a number of benefits and the nutrients that it offers. Basically, they're just looking at ways that they can reach more populations, whether that's through social media, through physicians, or other avenues to make sure that people are getting this information, that they're aware of the risks, and that they're weighing all of this as they are enjoying, you know, their Friday night fish fry.
You know, I'm pretty much pescatarian, so I may be one of those 5 million people who needs to start paying attention to those advisories. And thank you for sharing that, because this is one of the ways to get the word out through radio. So thanks, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
All right. We've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WBR News, and Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We leave you with more of the music of Imogene. I'm Robin Washington, and it's great to be back with you. Stay safe, everyone.